Getting back to that New York Times story about the CIA in Poland and the Americans over there waiting for this unrest, the Soviet Union said that the anti-socialist forces had a network inside Poland and that from the beginning the United States administration oriented itself to counter-revolutionary process to put in the top leaders of Solidarity. It was done in a belief that the seizure of power in Poland by Solidarity leaders is a matter of the near future. Solidarity's foreign sources of support and funds include the AFL-CIO, linking most of the organizations to the CIA. The 400 centers of support abroad secretly sent several million dollars to Poland. That was the New York Times. Another important story in the San Francisco Chronicle and New York Times and other papers had it was the secret papers lost in Iran haunt the United States. And these are the 11 volumes of documents that deal with the names of agents, and Newsweek referred to them this week. Thousands of pages of all intelligence reports of the defense attaché's offices in 1978 and 79, the identities of defense intelligence sources, records of plans of the Defense Intelligence Agency and CIA to steal Russian planes, the missiles and guns, and also more than a month of intelligence reports from the European Command, which monitors the Warsaw Pact developments. So these are being sold in Iran for a small amount. Three writers went over there and brought 11 volumes to the United States, and their volumes were taken from them, and they've been arrested for bringing them to the country. You can buy them in Iran, but if you bring them in the United States, you're arrested. So that not only did the Iranian government were they able to capture documents to keep us from touching Khomeini or doing anything over there to overthrow that government because they had the goods on us, but then they published these books there and gave everything to the Soviet Union. This article says that at the time the Iranian embassy fell, our officials said nothing much was lost, but that everything was turned over to the Soviet Union, and they cleverly published it into books. Now, there was another article by Roland Evans and Robert Novak this week, Reagan's paralysis on Poland. Why isn't he moving? The AFL-CIO President Lane Kirkland said he could scarcely believe Ronald Reagan's attitude about the Soviet Union. Why isn't he moving faster? And it's a diatribe against Poland and for solidarity by our labor head, Lane Kirkland, in the United States. And the answer, of course, for his anger is found in several books and one article that was sent to me this week. The sources I'm going to give you now and then refer mostly to one excellent article and some pages from other books. Now, I have two books and many more, but I can't mention them all tonight. We'll do more later, that talk about the AFL, George Meany, then it combined AFL-CIO with Lane Kirkland, their role with the CIA, and they're forming the labor movement and infiltrating, and they took over the labor movement, formed it in 1980 in Poland to begin this unrest for the CIA. One book is The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence by Victor Marchetti and John Marks, published. It's a Dell book. There's a recent edition out that has the parts that were not allowed to be printed in the first printing. So if you look for it, look for the later edition. Then I have another excellent book that fills in names that are in this article that was sent to me. This is called The CIA and American Labor, The Subversion of AFL-CIO's Foreign Policy by George Morris. This came out in 1967, International Press. And then an article that I got this week from a subscriber to the tapes, and it's from the magazine Counterspy. You might want to subscribe to that if you don't have it already. This is the February-April issue, 1981, the AFL-CIO Trojan Horse in the Polish Unions by John Kelly. And the reason I want to emphasize this particular article this evening is that it hit so many bases and names that I've brought up on the programs before. And you will recognize them, such as Nazi General Reinhard Gehlen. The thing that interested me about the labor union story linking Hitler's chief of intelligence of Eastern Division to our American labor unions is that I have been sort of the loner in the media, whether it was writing stories or interviews or radio on Hitler's chief of intelligence. And I don't know how many people in investigative journalism refer to Reinhard Gehlen and Hitler and his spy system as affecting our own economy and the labor unions all over the world. And this goes into Reinhard Gehlen. Now, this article by John Kelly tells about Frank Wisner of the CIA, who worked with Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, and they made up what were spy and sabotage units for Eastern Europe, such as in Hungary or Czechoslovakia or now in Poland, to try to sever them from the influence of the Soviet Union. Wisner was an official in the CIA. He formed Radio Free Europe. He founded it to encourage the Hungarian Revolt in 1956. I have articles here about Radio Free Europe, and maybe you've seen them in the newspaper. Ronald Reagan is increasing the budget, and it goes into the millions, like $474 million last year, called Project Truth. If we were conducting the truth, we wouldn't have to yell it so loud. But this Radio Free Europe and the Voice of America were set up by Reinhard Gehlen and Mr. Wisner of the CIA, and of course Gehlen set up the CIA. Wisner misled the United States media at the time of the Hungarian Revolt, just as they misled us when the Iranian embassy was taken, or they mislead us with the Solidarity story in Poland. They said the uprisings were spontaneous, and he never said that he worked with the CIA or with Reinhard Gehlen to foment the workers. And the same thing is happening in Poland now that happened before. The AFL-CIO aid to Polish workers, they call it aid, called Friends in the West, was money that they gave with the intent of overthrowing the Russian influence in those countries, as I said before. This article says their ulterior motive was to secure and expand U.S. corporate and strategic interests. Now, this same team, the Gehlen Group and AFL-CIO, were instrumental in overthrowing Brazil, Chile, Honduras, Guatemala. I can just go on and on the list of countries. There's about 28, and put them into virtual slavery for the corporations, so that the intent someday is to take the Soviet Union with its gas, its mines, its oil, its extreme wealth, and also the corporations want to get a tentacle into Poland. They don't have that much going right now for them, but it is a place to locate until they make their final push for the Soviet Union. As a matter of fact, the key organizer for the international AFL-CIO group, Jay Levstone, is a person described in these books, in this particular book, CIA and American Labor, as working with the Nazis, getting very anxious for World War III as he got his labor organizations going. Their motive is strategic interests and corporate interests, as I said before. That is what the CIA is made of. The CIA and the labor have been working together on international operations for a long time. And the daddy of the AFL-CIO labor organizing in these countries to overthrow them is none other than George Cabot Lodge. I've mentioned the Cabot family, Henry Cabot Lodge, and the Cabots were the cover for Otto von Bollschwang, the Nazi that took over the Gehlen operation when Gehlen became chief of intelligence again in Germany after World War II. He was there for Hitler in the Eastern Division during World War II, and then he turned it over to von Bollschwang, and the cover for von Bollschwang's trips around Europe to fund espionage, assassination teams, and so forth was through the Cabots and their millions. This millionaire, described as a multimillionaire, works with the AFL-CIO hierarchy in labor operations, and the lodges have their finger representing United States corporations and are interested in workers for the reason that the obscure trade unionist of today may be the president or prime minister of tomorrow. The article in Counterspy describes by December 1980, that was a year ago and a month, $140,000 was raised by the AFL-CIO for the Polish funds. The Solidarity was formed in just before the elections in 1980, and by the fall of 1980, and by December, we had sent $140,000 over for what they called printing matter, and the CIA sends printing presses. And then they used a man named Irving Brown, described in the book CIA and American Labor. I'll give you a profile on him, if not tonight, next week. And he set up the printing presses where $50,000 was spent and 12,000 copies of Polish newspapers were multi-copied for the trade unions to get the solidarity started with this money. And there were people directly linked to Reinhard Gehlen and the World War II and the Nazis who began publishing in 1980, December 80, getting the literature out in Polish to a group of organizers who would be stirring up and forming the Solidarity. The man behind the printing press is the editor of Free Trade News, is Thomas Kahn. Who is Thomas Kahn? He's the editor of the AFL-CIO Free Trade Union News, and he's chairperson for a group called League for Industrial Democracy, LID. And on the board of that is Eugene Rostow. I receive a letter, outlining the Rostow family, Eugene and Walter Rostow, and also Fritz Kramer. There's certain characters that I want to outline for the people that are interested in history and how America went down the drain. And I have the information. I just haven't done it because each week the news floods in. I'll have to do a biography for you soon on Eugene and Walter Rostow. They're so much a part of American history. But Eugene Rostow was on the board of directors of the League for Industrial Democracy, LID, and worked with Thomas Kahn, who set up the printing presses to stir up solidarity. Eugene Rostow right now is on the Disarmament Committee, which is really let's race Russia for the most arms, and he's over in Geneva and back and forth on the arms limitation, which is like calling the War Department the Defense Department. We changed the names. It's similar to the doublespeak of Orwell. But Rostow is on the Disarming Committee discussions with the Soviet Union. Now, we have George Cabot Lodge of the Cabot family, the Lodges, with close links to Otto von Bollschwang, who took over Galen's operation, funding and working with the AFL-CIO. We have LID, the organization, the League for Industrial Democracy, with Thomas Kahn, who works closely on the same organizations with Gene Rostow from the Defense Department and Galen's Nazi organizations again, and Mr. Wisner from the CIA working with Galen and Alan Dulles to set up the radio stations that are being escalated in power and money for Ronald Reagan to continue because, as I've said many times, the Nazis and the Tsarists have been behind Ronald Reagan since his Hollywood days, and now he's delivering what they want. The U.S. government and the CIA intervened in German labor movements and split them up. And this article in Counterspy describes George Meany with his CIA money starting in Germany with Irving Brown after the war. Thomas Braden refers to the payoffs that were going to the AFL, and that's in the book, The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence, and brother Walter Reuther, from the union, the automobile union, was breaking stories in 1965-66 on the CIA in the international and national labor organizations. Now, Mr. Meany first denied his links to the CIA, but Lane Kirkland, the head of the AFL-CIO, was put on the Rockefeller Commission with Richard Helms to investigate the CIA domestically, and two of them were working hand in glove with the CIA continuously when Richard Helms was director of the CIA and before, and he also was a protege of Galen. And they have such strong links, all of them, to the Hitler regime, to the forming of the CIA, and the destruction of labor movements in countries all over the world. The CIA had stations in Poland, and they escalated it. They've been active in all of those countries since World War II was over. But Solidarity was formed in September. The money began to flow in September of 1980, and the instigation and Lech Walesa and the muscle that he had to travel around and organize the printing press flowed in as soon as the Polish Pope was settled, and as I say, Brzezinski from Poland was the national security advisor, and we always have Henry Kissinger, the blood brother, right there hooting behind them and working with the same team. Counterspy describes the labor organization, how it targeted Europe, how it went into Hungary in 1956 and into Poland. And Jay Lovestone is the man that they described. He describes in this article John Kelly as the head of the AFL International Affairs. Now, that John Lovestone is one great character. He had an organization called ICFTU. It was heavily controlled by the CIA, and the purpose was to stir the unrest over in Poland and in Hungary at the time of the uprising. Again, it didn't work at all, but they tried, and the CIA poured in millions and millions of dollars to break up the unions. The ICFTU is the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, formed in 1950, and then they had the FTUC, the Free Trade Union Committee, under Jay Lovestone. The cover for his action was called the League for Human Rights, and it was to direct foreign policy and fight communism. And Mr. Lovestone was a person that worked hand in glove with the highest level of CIA and intelligence. And maybe next week we'll do a biography on the Rostov brothers and Lovestone. But he was in charge of the international group, and they stirred up the Hungarian crisis, set their network of spies for the Polish involvement, which we're seeing now. And Galen at the time was getting $5 to $6 million a year for the anti-communist riots in East Germany in 1953. Now, this gang, the AFL group that collaborated with Nazis in Germany and broke up labor unions after the war, worked with pro-Nazis in France. And one of the men that has helped set up Solidarity and work, Jay Lovestone, was the head of the AFL International. And they put up, one story is $850,000 for the Hungarian revolt. This is the article in Counterspy, but that's just one source. This has been going on, as I say, since World War II. He recommended at the time of the Hungarian revolt that they bring in the Nazi air pilots to bomb for the Berlin airlift. And then Irving Brown, his buddy, helped divide up the unions in Europe and set up alternate unions so that they would have dual loyalty and fight among each other. They also worked with organized crime. That's nothing new. The AFL worked with the mafia and crime thugs, according to Counterspy. In France, Irving Brown of the CIA and the AFL collaborated with Pierre Ferry, Dash Pisano, and the mafia thugs. The CIA passed money to the mafia thugs, who broke up the French workers who are on a strike in Marseille, and then they used the money for illegal drug operations. Now, that is the reason that Robert Mayhew of the CIA and FBI used John Roselli and Sam Giancana and organized crime, or why Tom Dewey, the DA in New York, and Earl Warren, the Chief Justice, had used Lucky Luciano in Italy with organized crime, because the crime thugs break up the labor union so that the profit stays in the hands of the owners. That is the purpose of breaking up the labor unions. If you keep slave wages going, in case you can't figure that out, most of you know it very well, but there's a lot of young people who take these tapes that are not aware that if you own a corporation or a factory and you raise the price of the wages, you take less home as the owner. And if you can keep the wages down low, you take home more for profit. And when the labor union needed enough to live on for rent or food or health, and there was this imbalance, the mafia were brought in to kill the union leaders and beat them up. And in exchange for their killing, whether it's the president, the senator, witnesses to trials, and for the exchange for killing people who will organize and increase the value of life in the unions, in exchange for that, they're allowed to bring in narcotics at a tremendous profit without not only paying taxes on it and skimming money by the millions and billions, but the district attorneys and the congressmen and the presidents are in the pay of them In return, they get them in office and put up the TV money and the printing, and they don't get arrested. That's why the top narcotics figures don't get arrested. It's why the labor unions stand still. And in countries where the war was over and they wanted a fair shake at developing their resources in their own country, the AFL, CIO, CIA beat up and killed the various people that were organizing. There is an article today in the paper on the loss of human rights into the millions of new people in 1981, and it mentioned 22 journalists who were murdered. Well, some of them just happened to be in a certain place and time, maybe such as at the airport a few years ago at Jonestown, but some of them do investigative journalism that finds out what is causing the problems in the country, and another 20 journalists were either kidnapped or tortured and taken away. The labor unions are kept down, and a handful of people run them. And the article in Counterspy tells how Poland got infiltrated with the AFL, CIO, and the agents who had worked in Latin America and Asia and Europe set their tentacles in 1980 for organizing in Poland to put in the solidarity to get the unrest. September the 4th, 1980, the General Board of the American Federation of Labor began their operations over there to get the Polish Workers' Fund. President Lane Kirkland threw in the money. He took contributions from rank-and-file members, but then all of a sudden the CIA threw him, pours in the money, and then his operatives, such as Irving Brown, who worked in Germany with the Nazis, start the operation going. So, September the 4th, 1980, The Federation of Labor, the AFL, decided to begin the solidarity movement. That's when it began under George Cabot Lodge and the labor movement in the United States and Lane Kirkland. The fund started rolling, and the press in Detroit had an article about this decision to send money to the Polish Workers' Aid Fund. By September the 16th, that's 2 weeks later, David Fitzmaurice, president of the International Union of Electrical Radio Machine Workers, gives $10,000 to Mr. Kirkland towards that solidarity union they're forming. And then another $120,000 goes, and it's raised from Germany and Austria and France, which are, again, our American intelligence, throwing it back into these funds. Now, Eugene Rostow was active earlier with the AFL-CIO. He busted a union in the United States. He was active in union busting in addition to his other jobs with armaments. And there's a story in Counterspy of the intervention of the Rostows in a labor dispute. This time it was Walter Rostow, the brother of Eugene Rostow, who was instrumental in breaking up a fur labor union. It was for a fur organizing group called the Fur Workers Union. And Walter Rostow, the brother of Eugene Rostow, was called as a witness. Walter worked in the OSS, the United States Intelligence, during World War II. In 1954, he started the CIA Center for International Studies, located at MIT. This is Walter Rostow. Walter had worked with Lyndon Johnson, I believe, National Security Advisor during the Vietnam War. Walter Rostow worked at the MIT, and he funded that center, which was established with CIA money. Now, Richard Allen went to Germany, to Munich, Germany, and went down to Atlanta, Georgia for a few months as a professor, then founded the Georgetown think tank that has been the source of all the anti-Russian propaganda coming out of the United States as if they were such scholars and experts, and also closely linked to the Stanford Institute on War and Peace, that peace is a misnomer. So somebody like Allen can fund an institution like the Georgetown Center for Strategic Studies, and Walter Rostow is the person who established with the CIA money at MIT the Center for International Studies. The CIA branched out in its labor unions and set up different factions in different countries, and they also could fund think tanks that advise some poor schnook of a president. You get old Harry Truman from the pentagram machine, or a tired Eisenhower who just wants to go off with his mistress or play golf or has to sit home with Mamie. And you get these various Richard Nixon flying off with Bieber, Rebozo, and this group of presidents that I run down too often, the horrible idiots. But behind them is the power of these so-called experts. And every one of these experts has one thing in mind, and that's to invade the Soviet Union, so that these think tanks are set up in various cities and places like MIT or Stanford University or Georgetown University. And they're really just private cancers on each location of people who've been wallowing in mud and pouring billions of dollars of money and weapons into these institutions and telling us that's what we need. Hopefully, I hope our allies are not going to fall for all of this, but there'll be a lot of wrist-bending when Chancellor Schmidt meets Ronald Reagan this week, trying to get them to go along with this. They don't seem to want that war very much, and it's easy to figure out why. Well, the counter-spy article on the AFL-CIO, it's called The Trojan Horse in Polish Unions, is a very important story because of the efforts of our intelligence community to undermine Poland, as they did in other countries. Now, this article just briefly goes into the background of some of those characters, who they are. The book America, CIA and American Labor, goes into Jay Lovestone and his work with the most violent anti-communist group since 1929. This tells how he moved into the United Automobile Workers, how he wanted revenge against the communists. Allegedly, he belonged to the Communist Party in 1929, and they kicked him out. But they may have kicked him out because he was a spy. And he's devoted his entire life, and through the labor unions, to overthrow any chance for the people in Guatemala, Ecuador, Honduras, Dominican Republic, Chile, Brazil, any of them. These people have teamed together to overthrow any native population that wants to use their resources for their own sake. And they've turned the resources over to the American corporations. This Lovestone is a really funny name for him, misnomer, considering what he is doing. And as I say, this Lovestone is described in the book, The CIA and American Labor, of having an ear with the State Department. He worked with Secretary of State John Foster Dulles. He had strong links to the CIA, and he moved behind the scenes with the U.S. labor movement. He helped overthrow these countries, and this book describes several articles that were written about him a while back. Maybe we didn't notice his name at the time. One is in The Nation. It's called Lovestone Diplomacy in 1965 by Sidney Lenz, and another by Dan Kurtzman, Lovestone's Cold War. The AFL-CIO has its own CIA. This was in the New Republic in 1966. So Lovestone has been around a lot with Irving Brown and their mafia Nazi connections. And through the labor organizations and through Mr. Kirkland, they decided in September of 1980 that Poland needed a union, right? And they could bring us to the brink of World War III. Let's get a free trade union. And what they're bringing to Poland is what they brought to all the other countries that went under and lost their civil rights, that have military dictatorships, that are exploited, that their resources are shipped elsewhere, their standard of living is down to bare survival, and they're involved in trying to overthrow the American corporations. They are not communists. We push them into the communist camp. They're people that want to eat and live. And the labor union in the United States, first Mr. George Meany and then Mr. Lane Kirkland, with his stooges like Brown and Lovestone, have formed solidarity with the approval of Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski and the Polish Pope. So now they're left with a barrel of mess, and with the Soviet Union knowing the names of the agents, knowing 400 locations of where they were, observing them all the time. That's why I say I know we have to be a stalemate like Iran or in Libya or anywhere else, because we leave our papers around. And it's that mistake that keeps them arm's distance. It'll be interesting to see how this develops, but there's a lot of information out of how the CIA formed Solidarity, and the next move, of course, will be up to the Allies and to the Soviet Union. Next week, I want to read closely with you some remarks in the newspaper by the Soviet Union on this affair that we can't take lightly. They're important to read and share with you. In the meantime, have a good week and have a happy new year. I didn't even have a chance to say that last week. Have a good year, and I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Bressel. This program originates from Carmel, California.